So it's November the 6th. All the eyes all over the world, they're going to be here in the United States. It's about the voting, the candidates, and change or no change. Well, that's where the physical eyes are. That's where everybody's looking. But is that the bottom line? Is that what's... Is that going to determine your future? Is it going to determine where you're at in your life? Listen, we are in a series on spiritual warfare, a cosmic war, the backdrop to everything. We talked about it Monday night, the foundations. When it comes to the areas of philosophy, worldviews, even science and many other areas, the issues really presented are... what's reality? What's really real? If the fall of the human race is not real, if the demonic realm is not real, if all of it is to be shoved aside, then there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions to be answered. A lot of things to be dealt with. On the other hand, if all the scripture and all the revelation is true, as I believe and most of all of you believe, that's the reality. God... a savior, the cross, heaven, hell, angels, demons. But it comes down to your life also. It comes down to where you're at and what's happening in your life, what's going on. Sometimes we go through things, we don't know what in the world is happening. There are things that happen, there are events that occur, there are things that push us. There are some that are listening right now, the events in your life are pushing you to say, where is God? Does God love me? Is God still around? Well, let me ask you something tonight. Do you know the method of the dark side? Do you understand and do you experience, I mean, knowingly, when spiritual warfare, that is the aggravation, the temptation, the confusion, the goal of the dark side to bring seduction, to bring trouble, to bring a predatory work against your life. And if you understand that the dark side is there and the dark side is operative and the dark side is doing what he does, if you've read the book of Job, and you understand that there is a presence that is horrific, radically evil, predatory, there's no concern on the devil's side, on the demon's side, concerning your feelings, what you feel like, cries for mercy. None of that matters, other than the fact that they revel in it. If you don't understand the origins, if you don't understand the nature, if you don't understand the methodology, then it's probably going to happen. That is, the work of the dark side... demons themselves, operative, bringing you trouble, bringing you hardship, bringing you all kinds of stuff, and you not knowing what's going on, they don't care if you blame everybody else. They don't care if you're sitting there in pain. What they'd love you to do is blame God, get angry at God, chuck God, put all the fault on God. See, that's part of what we talked about in the foundations. If you understand spiritual warfare foundations, how it begins in the heavenlies, Ezekiel 28, how it engages the human race, Genesis chapter 3, the progressive spiritual battle in the Old Testament, the arrival of Christ and the conquering of Satan's authority and power and rights, the giving of authority to believers. I mean, listen, if you're someone that understands, listen, you can be in China, you can be in South Africa and South America. It doesn't make any difference today because you know what happens? A president's wife's mother in the White House of the United States of America is caught doing voodoo. Spirits. Some won't even consider that it's a problem. Others will realize, those that know understand the summoning and the acquiring of demonic presence, spells and hexes. And I mean, let's ask the question, if it's true, as the report said, she was doing those, well, voodoo, whether spells or hexes or conjuring, the issue is, what was the objective? I wonder who it was that found her doing the voodoo. This is Russ Dizdar Shatters live broadcast on this Tuesday night. It is the 6th of November. We're doing this in a series. We have the workbook up on the main site, shatterthedarkness.net. You don't have to have it at all, but if you'd like a workbook that you can go through, and that we're going to kind of give you a web seminar all of this week and next week. We'll go as in-depth as we need to, because we want to give you what we've been given others at all the conferences. On a radical level, we can look at what's happening in the world around, but it does come down to your life, and that's what we've prayed about today. That God would engage you, God would stretch out his hand to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. We want to say that we love you, that he loves you more than anyone does, and nobody knows you better, nobody wants you more. If you want to understand really what life is all about, then you've got to include in the chunk of understanding that there is a real spiritual war. That the fall of the human race, and that sin and evil and wrong and imperfection and things and disease and all of this is the fruit that flows from the roots of our joining a rebellion, joining an insurrection, where we lost the presence of God and acquired a sin nature, a death code, and Satan has rights. You might want to look it up, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the Bible, chapter 2. There is a prince of the power of the air, Greek word eros, the immediate dense atmosphere above your head, all over the world. Now, we can say that most of the world understands all of these spiritual properties. Now, there are, I'm going to say this, billions that may be deceived. This other predatory presence has an agenda to consume the globe. That involves you. That involves your children. That involves any grandchildren. That involves your neighborhood. That involves your extended family. That involves where you work. Involves your state. It involves your province. It involves your nation. It involves your leaders. It involves war. It involves economic prosperity and or collapse. Behind it all, as described by the Spirit of God in Ephesians 6, our struggle, our battle, our conflict is not against flesh and blood. There are operating principles behind the scenes, operative in the area of political leaders and those in government, military leaders and those in the structures of war and armies, in the structure of economics and those who carry the wealth, and even the media moguls. You've got to understand, biblical revelation would point out Satan's target is for the power centers. Undergrounders know this very well. Left-hand pathers know this. Those who are helping that agenda grow, they all know this. Now here's the issue. We are in, if you've got the manual, if you want to get that, you can. But if you've got the manual, we're on what's called the five A's of spiritual warfare. It's awareness, alert, authority, armor, and action. Now, it's vital as we go through this, and we'll take it in this sequence. We're going to deal with awareness. We're going to deal with, secondly, being alert. Thirdly, the armor of God. Fourth, the authority. And fifth, action. And if these are the foundations within your life as a believer in Christ, let me say this, that if all believers are taught these principles in the first 6 months of being a believer in Christ, well, let me tell you something. You're going to have a lot more insight than most believers I know. In the last 3 years, we've been doing conferences all over many different states, many different places, hundreds and hundreds of individuals, let alone the thousands and thousands listening and downloading courses, by the millions, by the way. So let me say welcome to those downloading all over the world, over 110 countries. May God's blessing, strength, and encouragement be given to you directly today. For those that don't know Christ, may the Spirit of God bring the revelation of Christ, the convincing, convicting work to draw you to Christ. There is no greater need, no greater spiritual experience than salvation that God has brought to us. It's God's will, not willing that any perish. And that is part of the aspects of a spiritual battle. God desires you, but let me tell you one story. You're driving down the road, you look before you, and there looks like about 6 inches or 12 inches of water that goes on for about 20 yards. What you don't know, it's a sinkhole, and actually underneath, it goes down 60 yards. You're unaware. And just by a surface looking, you think you can just glide right over it, but if you do go forward, your car will go deep 60 yards down into that sinkhole. Awareness is vital. Awareness of cars to the left of us and right. Awareness of where we're going in life and who's around us and who's at the door. Awareness. Who's handling our children. It's vital that we become alert. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this. That as a believer in Christ, we're given the gift of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells within. He is to give us spirit lit eyes, perception, discernment. We should be able to have an experiential Holy Spirit discernment, perception, insight, a way of knowing. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When it gets into the realm of feelings, I know what's been said for years. The Word of God comes first, feelings come second. I agree, but I also want to state this very clearly. The Word of God, biblical scripture, and biblical experience go hand in hand. Salvation isn't just a declaration, a name on a roll. It's the experience of knowing the living Christ, knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that you've got His power within, knowing that you have the gift of eternal life, knowing that you can pray, that you can grow, that you can develop. And so as we talk about this aspect of spiritual warfare in the area of the five A's, it is absolutely vital to understand this from a biblical revelation and then from our experience of that biblical revelation. Let me give you an example. There is a scripture I'm going to look at, and if you're looking at your notes, if you do have the notebook, under the five A's, awareness is number one. Awareness is absolutely vital. The actual Greek word here means, when Paul says these words, in reference to, again, living out the life of, as a believer, living that life out, and then along with living that out, I mean, you've got engagement. If you're in ministry, you're going to be engaged. You're going to be opposed. If you're a believer in Christ, there is a predatory presence looking for someone to devour. Have you read that? 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you remember the story, Jesus with the disciples, when he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you guys as wheat. Now, that's what we're talking about when we say that we talk about the power of God, the joy of God, the joy of salvation. This is awe-striking. This is awesome. It's tremendous. But living out our lives as believers, no matter who we are, and no matter what our station is in life and what our ministry is and what our age is, the truth is this. There is a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, I'll give a session on that in a couple of days. But today we're dealing with the five A's, the meaning of awareness, 2 Corinthians 2:11. I mean, just mark it down. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And here we have this incredible revelation of the Apostle Paul living out his life, living out in ministry. And he talks about in these terms anyway, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Here's the idea. In order that Satan might not take advantage, the idea of outwitting, I mean fooling you, because that's part of his goal. That's part of the dark side's work. Seduction, deception, operative, secretly sending those arrows to bring doubt, bringing attack so that he can cause you to fall into depression, get you angry, make you think it's God's fault, that God's not listening, that God's not coming through, that something else is wrong. God's not the author of confusion. You got to realize the methods that Satan and demons use in the area of temptation, the arrows, Ephesians 6, that involuntary thought and feeling sent against you. The arrows are real. Deadly communication to disrupt you, to bring doubt to you. Now here's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan might not outwit or take advantage, because that's in the nature of Satan and demons. To outwit, to outsmart, to take advantage. For the goal of bringing the believer down, causing doubt, causing disruption, causing, well, a number of things to weaken your faith. I mean, that's why Jesus would say to Peter and the disciples, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. Take advantage. Bring an actual battle to you. It involved outwitting, outsmarting, taking advantage of those disciples. Now, Paul says it this way, but we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware. We are not ignorant. Listen, I want you to know something. There's one thing about being ignorant because you don't know something. I don't know how to change pistons in a V8. I've never done that. That's simply that I haven't learned to do something. I want you to understand this word, unaware or ignorance, here. The Spirit of God uses a word that means, with the concept of willful ignorance, it has the idea of saying someone that could know doesn't want to know. Someone that could know avoids knowing. Somebody that could and should know has simply walked around this table of biblical revelation and understanding. Walked around the revelation of spiritual warfare and the victory and the necessity of our weapons in Christ. Listen, it's not just for the victory, it's for the sake of weaponry. Listen, it's one thing for me to have my life okay and walking with Christ and growing and loving him and so forth. But what about when ministering to others and engaging the world and engaging demonized individuals or engaging people that have some kind of demonic doctrine? Or, I mean, you're not going to be just left alone. Not till Christ comes and we're glorified. We're going to have this spiritual battle. We're going to have this fight, this aggravation. And I agree with you. It is an aggravation sometimes. It is a harassment. Satan and the dark side, they bring harassment, aggravation, predatory goals of devouring. And see, all of that can sound scary. I mean, I think that's why some believers willfully avoid biblical teaching on spiritual warfare. And I want to say again, at a conference where we brought this material out, a man comes to me about his pastor, that he loves his pastor, but his pastor told him straight out that he doesn't like the area of spiritual warfare and doesn't want to engage the area of spiritual warfare, doesn't want to talk about the area of spiritual warfare. And see, that brings me to this word right here, a willful disregard, a willful choice not to know how the enemy operates, what his schemes and designs are, what are the intentions, and then what are the points of power and safety and protection and victory that we have in Christ. See, the position of saying, I don't know why, I don't want to know anything about spiritual warfare, with the idea, therefore I don't have to engage, you've already lost. You've already lost. If you're sitting back saying, man, I don't want to think about that kind of stuff, because if I don't think about it, I won't have to engage it. You've already been engaged. You've already been shoved off to the edge. And the enemy is somehow, by fear, convinced you that you don't need to know the depth of the counsel of God in Scripture, what the Spirit of God wants to plant into your life, and why you and I both need this in-depth biblical. And to me, it's normal teaching. I mean, this is, you might say, you know what, when I got saved, it was normal to get baptized, start gathering in worship services, start to worship, start to learn how to pray. Is that where you stopped? Yeah, some believers out there, I read the Gospel of John. Every once in a while, I pick my Bible up. I read a verse here or there. Is that what you're going to do with your spiritual life? I mean, Christ dies on the cross, sheds his blood, rises from the dead. This is God saving you from hell, from sin, from being separated. This is God's absolute front line. You know how in the book of Hebrews it talks to the depressed believers not to neglect so great a salvation. You neglect biblical revelation about spiritual warfare, you will stay subnormal, abnormal as a believer. You will not be able to bear the fruit that is intended. You will not be able to grow strong. See, there's believers that choose not to grow, that want to stay willfully ignorant. And I can only pray this today, that God brings the conviction on the one hand, and on the other hand, that God will break through with his wisdom to you, that this is God's intent for you, God's will for you. This involves God's victory for you, Christ's fullness in you, not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you, and being able to minister to others, and to be able to make your stand. Because I can guarantee you this, as a believer, from the Scripture, I can guarantee you that Satan and demons will come. They're going to come to bring oppression. They're going to come to bring attack. They're going to come to bring deception and seduction and deceit and counterfeit things. How are you going to handle that? So we've got believers looking all around, seeing where parts of the church are seduced by counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and false prophets, apostles, and false teachers that in doctrine they're wrong, in their relationship with God they're wrong, and what they're doing and how they're doing it's wrong. But it seems spiritual and it seems supernatural, so some people are caught up by it. And they don't know how to discern. They have a check, they have a sense that something's wrong, but they can't nail it down because they are so thin in the depth of their Spirit-empowered discernment and perception and biblically lit ability to distinguish. So I want to impress on you that these are five areas, no matter what, I don't care what you do in life, if you're in government or military, or if you are a housewife, or if you are, you know, out on the streets, if you're, it doesn't make any difference, because when it comes down to your relationship with God, someone now hates you. Someone now wants to bring battle against you. Even before you got saved, and maybe some that are listening that are not yet saved, you have maybe heard the gospel, maybe heard about Jesus, maybe you've been listening. Maybe the addictions and other things are holding you, and you're listening to the lies that tell you you can't get out. And I'm saying that in Christ, you can get out and find victory and freedom and fullness. But here's what happens. A parable that Jesus tells concerning going out and unleashing the powerful Word of God. Taking these words of God that have life in them. As a matter of fact, Jesus refers to them as the living words of God, as God's voice, that have life, that have power. You can read about that in Hebrews. The Word of God is living and active, powerful. There's power in the Word. and power to penetrate and speak and reveal and break through all of the sin issue, the Satan issue, everything else to reveal and speak. But the issue is whether or not you receive that. Now, in the parable Jesus tells of the sower that goes out to sow the word of God, that if received, an individual can find Christ, find God's salvation, being born of the Spirit of God, the gift of eternal life. I mean, this involves glorification. This involves immortality. And it answers all the issues of origins, life, death, radical evil, and how to overcome it. So let me tell you something. We're talking about what's absolutely vital in life. Some listening right now, it's been the truth that the enemy, and you're going to find out in this training that you know the enemy has been eating your lunch and you have not known what to do. So there are those that want to stay willfully ignorant. Jesus says about the parable of the sower, sowing the word of God, some fall among the rock. And he talks about how, do you remember, how the birds of the air come and pick up that seed and fly away with it. Jesus gives the insight or the interpretation of it. He says it's like when the word of God is sown into somebody's life. But Satan comes, now listen carefully, to take away the word so that they cannot believe and be saved. You can't get saved without hearing. Romans 10, how can they believe on whom they've not heard? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the word of Christ, by the gospel. And Satan even fights against that. Satan fights against the gospel going out because it's the power of God into salvation. Because it's what brings the message of God and this miraculous gift of salvation and engages with conviction and convincing and drawing. And then when someone believes and receives, Christ comes in, forgiveness is given, freedom is given, empowerment is given, Satan and all of his chains and rights are broken. Literally from the inside out, we are made alive in Christ. Our eyes are opened. Have you come to Christ? Do you know him? If you're someone seeking, someone looking, I urge you to study well Romans chapter 8. Find out where you stand. For those who are believers right now, listen, you're saved, you're forgiven, Christ dwells in you. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he who began a good work in you, he's going to carry it on to completion, to the day of Christ. God is at work. God is at work to grow you. God is at work to get his word in you. God is at work to lead you to his fullness. Let me tell you, if you'll stop for a moment and just mark down in your notes, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to the end. You're going to see very clearly the will of God to bring you to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You can mark down John's Gospel 15. You're chosen in Christ to be able to bear fruit, fruit that will last, and even more fruit. We have been created in Christ Jesus and prepared and enabled to do good works that God prepared in advance. I mean, when you study this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, to see that salvation is by grace through faith alone, not by works. It's received by faith alone. But when Christ, his power comes in, and we're not just forgiven, though that's sinful, and that is awesome, we're also set free, and we're also empowered. And Satan's chains are broken, and a new nature is operative, and we're to then be able to grow and grow and grow. And like the great verse I always speak about in Acts 9:22, to grow more and more powerful. That'll come from the word of God also. As a matter of fact, you can mark this down in this context. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Look at the part that says, I write to you young men, in reference to young believers. Not brand new ones, but young ones. Here's what it says about those who begin to grow in Christ and in the Word. Here's what it says. Because you are strong, you've overcome the evil one. Did you read that in 1 John 2? Because you are strong, there is a spiritual strength. You have the ability to stand. You ever see a baby beginning to walk, wobbling around, wobble here, wobble there, fall down there? You and I, as believers, are not to stay spiritual babies wobbling around. We're to grow up in our salvation. And that growth means a deeper depth in Christ. The joy grows deeper. The awareness and knowing of Christ grows deeper. Knowing God grows deeper. But empowerment, ability to bear fruit, win souls, get prayers answered powerfully. But also, and again, I'm going to say that none of this can be done without the realization that there's going to be a spiritual battle. The early disciples, they didn't know, and Jesus said, Satan asked to sift you, and that's exactly what Satan did. He came in to bring them great trouble. And the trouble that he gave them involved them being scattered. It involved them to being agitated. It involved Peter out there saying he didn't even know Jesus. And under the spiritual attack he was going, he's out there cussing. You read the story of Peter and then read about the grace of God that restores him and look at the battle he went through, the failure he went through, then look at Pentecost. Look how Peter then, the weak Peter, stumbling Peter, now becomes the rock, the powerful, spirit-filled one preaching on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 5, he discerns by the Spirit of God Satan's attempted entrance into the church through Ananias and Sapphira. Peter would write later on in his own book, led by the Spirit of God, to say these words, that we are to be self-controlled and alert because your enemy, the devil, he is prowling around, roaring like a lion. He's trying to create the fear, trying to create the sense that he is so mighty and vast, and he's predatory, looking for someone to devour. Now, if you look at that verse, 1 Peter 5, we're to stand firm in our faith. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus and you know 10 scriptures, then you have 10 scriptures to stand on. But what if you had 100? What if you had 500 scriptures you've come to know very well and you've received and you've put into practice? Then I'm going to tell you right now, like 1 John 2, you're going to be the kind of believer that is expressing strength. You are strong, you are stable, you are developing, you've overcome. That's the Greek word Nike. That's the Greek word that means you've overcome with decisive victory the evil one. Why? Look what it says in 1 John 2. Because the word logos, this living word lives, this is the Greek word meno, dwells. You've received it. You put it into practice. Now it's alive in you, operative in you. And I think that's where Paul's coming from when, by the Spirit of God, he lays out this word in 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan might not take advantage, outwit, outsmart. I don't want him to outsmart me. I don't want him. I see him outsmarting the world, outsmarting the government, outsmarting the military men and women, outsmarting the environmentalists, outsmarting the world as a whole. We understand his origins in our first foundations session in the heavenlies. We understand his nature throughout all of Scripture. He's the devil. He's Diabolos. He is the destroyer, the adversary, the murderer, the liar. He is the tempter. We understand this. We need to understand this well. We also should know his schemes. What are his designs, his methods, his intentions? Well, look what he did in the garden. Circle that in the garden, the way that he did it, and then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look how Paul deals with the believers in the church, saying that he's now concerned that somehow through Satan's cunning and his temptation, the tempter has led them astray from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ, just like he did Eve. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. Take a look at this, where believers, and Paul is now discerning. Now, you might be a strong believer that now is discerning others, and they're going through battles, and you're seeing them being outwitted. You're seeing them being outsmarted. You're seeing them being led. Now, notice the revelation there in 2 Corinthians 11. That's the goal. Exactly as Satan did it in the garden to lead Eve, to lead humanity away from God and exchange God for the liar, exchange the word of God for the doctrine, the satanic doctrine. What you see in Genesis 3 is exactly how Satan operates in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here in the beginning of this book, Paul is saying, listen, in order that Satan might not that's the whole issue. So that Satan will not outwit, outsmart, take advantage. Let me ask you a question. Right now, do you realize that Satan has been taking advantage of you, outwitting you, defeating you, depressing you, weakening you, leaving you in fear? The rest of that verse, 2 Corinthians 2:11, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not ignorant of his schemes, his devices. That a word ignorant or unaware is the word from the original that means someone who willfully chooses to ignore God's instruction, to ignore the realities of spiritual battle and warfare, to ignore all that on a willful basis. Go ahead and watch some more television. Eat some more cake. Go out there and just be a hedonist. Get sucked in by the world and watch your spiritual life be almost non-existent and the enemy eat your lunch. Do you realize how many believers are beaten by the enemy, outwitted by the enemy, outsmarted by the enemy? By the tens of thousands, they're no longer in fellowship in a local place with believers. They're no longer in the Word. They're no longer growing. All they have is a memory of what it used to be like when they had joy, the reality of forgiveness, and Christ was conscious and real and alive in your life. And the Spirit of God is zeroing in on you, and God is calling you to return and quit allowing the enemy to take advantage of you. Quit allowing the enemy to outsmart you. Quit allowing yourself and choosing to be unaware, willfully ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So in the points on awareness, let me just mention some of those quickly. On that page we have, we need to realize that we need to have awareness biblically of how Satan and the dark side, the demonic side, how those spirits work. The origin is important. The nature is important. The schemes or method or designs, how he operates, attacking individuals, trying to steal the word of God, trying to induce doubt, bring harm and attack, how he did things to Job, how he wants to bring anger and make individuals, it's like Satan come up and punching you out and pointing his finger at God. And then the agenda. We need to know biblically the satanic agenda. When we know that, we'll be able to look at what's going on in the world around us and be able to see on a global scale the satanic agenda moving forward. We'll be able to see the methodology when we're dealing with other individuals and trying to help them. Because we know the origin and nature, our issue is dealing with the method, the device, the intention, the warfare, and the agenda. Now, you can go back to Ezekiel 28 to learn, Isaiah 14 to learn when it comes to the origins, Genesis 3 when it comes to, again, method, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11, as I mentioned, when we refer to that method. please understand that this presence of evil in the world that we're living in is what's guiding the world. That involves you, though, your personal life, those around you, your children. And many of you might be able to say right now, you know what, I see my grandchildren, I see others being just Satan working and operating. I see Satan working in the music industry and in the television industry, and I see him operative in the cults and the New Age movement and the and on and on and on you can say. But the issue then is, what can you do? How can you stand? How can you bring the power of the gospel and witness and prayer and the authority of Christ? How can you bring Christ's light, truth, grace, and mercy, and power and authority to bear? It's one thing to know what the dark side's doing. In light of knowing, though, what God is doing, what God has given you, what God has put into you, and what God calls us to be, well, that then turns us into something totally different. Instead of willfully closing the door and not wanting to look outside, it's the idea of launching out, filled with the love and the grace and the power and the knowledge of Christ's authority, growing more and more experientially strong in the Lord, and being able to pray with answers, win souls to Christ, pray against the demons in lives of others and command them out, you know, go after individuals. This involves your life becoming so powerful, and I want you to know that you can. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've been telling yourself. Quit lying to yourself. Quit accepting what Satan says, what the world says, what defeated others say, and quit repeating it and quit lying to yourself. What God says in Christ, you're forgiven, you're indwelt, all the promises of God are yours. He's come to give you his authority so you can trample the dark side and overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you. He's come to give you his presence and power and strength and might, the armor of God and the clothing of the Spirit of God to be a witness to the world around us. It's vital. Yes, God wants you, the businessman, to be that powerful witness in the arena of your work, or at school, or in the neighborhood, or in the apartment complex, or in the, you say, well, you don't know where I live, you don't know where I work, it's like Satan's all around me. Study the book of Daniel. Look how he stood. Look how God intervened. God wants us to live for him powerfully, and he gives us all that we need, more that we need, his presence and his power in your life. Do you realize who's got the advantage? Ignorance gives the world, the flesh, and the devil the advantage. Knowledge and obedience in Christ and walking in Christ and growing stronger in Christ gives you the superior advantage in Christ as Christ intended. Awareness. There's opposition. There's nothing of God in Satan. He's eternal and the demons are eternally that way. They're liars, tempters, murderers. They're going to attack faith. They're going to do that constantly. They're going to seek to turn people away. That's what why I mentioned 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3. You can read the book of 1 John, and the Spirit of God leads John to write these words. I write these things to you because of those who are trying to lead you astray. The Spirit of God's trying to lay down deep Word of God, biblical strengthening revelation in the believer. We need to know and be aware of the arrows of the enemy. We need to be aware, in Ephesians 6, we need to be aware of the agenda. Agenda, 2 Thessalonians 2. Revelation 12 to start with. What Satan is doing on an individual level, he's doing on a global level, and it's all ramping up. Now, the awareness involves our knowledge that Christ has conquered him, made a public spectacle of the powers and the authorities, that in Christ we have protection and freedom, and we have his hand on our life, and the Lord promises protection. And we've been given authority to trample the dark side. And Christ is coming, and there will be an ultimate defeat. So awareness of all of the biblical, what we have, how Satan works, how Christ is coming, Well, all of that is necessary in our awareness in spiritual warfare. Now, let me mention this. So let me just say this. Instead of willful ignorance, we need absolutely committed, willful, growing, learning, consuming Scripture, learning, growing in Christ. All of it. All of it, not some. Now, secondly, is the A for alert. The meaning of alert is chapter 4, verse 2. We've mentioned this a lot. When the Spirit of God says, be devoted to prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. That word watchful, most believers know about praying. Most believers know about giving thanks, both that we should be doing constantly, because in prayer there's great power and great things can occur. In thanksgiving, there's great awareness of God's goodness and grace, and gratefulness is built, and joy is developed in our constant thanksgiving to Christ, to God. But that middle word, watch, gregoruo, look for the impending danger. What is the danger? Well, as with Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you. As with the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, Satan is out there as your enemy, seeking someone to devour. As we read in Ephesians 6, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the powers and authorities. This whole array of the demonic realm and the heavenly realms. Fighting and battling against believers and the body of Christ and the mission of God. So that's the danger. Awareness of this biblically leads us to begin to listen. I practice praying. I practice giving thanks. That's part of my life. But I also learned to practice watching on a daily basis. There are times, as I did today, Lord, what's the enemy up to? What's the enemy doing? I want to be alert. I want to be vigilant about what Satan is trying to do to me, my family, those around me. When somebody asks me to pray, I'm asking the Lord, what's the enemy doing? I want to discern what he's doing. I want God to give me insight. I want to be able to pray and ask God to crush Satan's work. I want to be able to take the authority Christ gave me and pray against the schemes and the arrows and the work of the enemy. I want to be able to resist the devil that he might flee from me. So I want to do this observing and watching and being alert, the idea of being vigilant, looking for the impending danger, means you take some time in your prayer time and just begin to, in the presence of Jesus, in the knowledge of the Word, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in the midst of prayer, ask, Lord, what is the enemy trying to do? Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen as the Holy Spirit brings you a scripture verse and speaks to your life. What is the enemy doing against you, doing against others? I bet you can right now take that page, take a piece of paper if you don't have the notebook, and write down some of the things you know the enemy is doing against you. And where you know then the responsibility on your part is to resist the devil, he'll flee from you. With the authority of Christ, pray against and rebuke the powers of darkness. Simply asking God to deliver you from the enemy, to crush, based on 1 John 3:8, to destroy Satan's work. Being alert is vital. When we are not alert, it's when we can get hit from the side, hit from the back, hit from some aspect of the enemy. The more you practice prayer, the deeper you grow in it. The more you practice thanksgiving and worship, the deeper your gratefulness and joy in the Lord will be. The deeper you practice watchfulness, alert, looking for the impending danger, the more the Spirit of God gives you the experience of discerning the enemy's tactics around listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God in how to rebuke, stand in your faith, and ask God to crush that work of the enemy. For yourself, for your family, in your church, just get a piece of paper and say, Lord, what's the enemy doing against our church? I want to be gregoruo. I want to be vigilant. I want to be watching. What is the enemy trying to do against the pastors and leaders and others? And then take your stand against. Then come against the work of the enemy and ask God to crush the work of the enemy, 1 John 3:8. And take your stand. Now, with awareness, with being alert, we need to have the armor of God on. Ephesians chapter 6, and let me just tell you this, vital. How do you put, now listen, in verse 10 down, we have this call to allow ourselves to be strengthened with the mighty power of God. That involves the manifest power of God in your life. As if God's power is deep, deep in you, emanating from inside out and all over you. The idea that the manifest strength and mighty power of God is in and all over you. How does that happen? The Spirit of God commands us, put on the full armor of God. Truth, righteousness, preparedness, helmet of salvation, lifting up the shield of faith, having and the using of the word of God, being in prayer and guided by the Spirit of God in prayer. How do you put on the armor of God? Most believers don't know. I mean, all these places I've been, 80-90% of the believers don't know what the authority is. 70-80% of the believers, listen, pastors, they don't know what the armor of God is and how to have it on. This is how you stand against the enemy's attack, like in Job's case. I accept truth. I accept the righteousness of Christ. I accept the peace that comes and prepares me from the gospel. I accept the fullness of salvation. I stand by faith alone in Christ. I cling to the word of God. I will commit to prayer. Now listen, it's inseparable. You accept and then you put into practice. You accept the truth of Christ, the truth of the Word, and the truth of the Spirit of God, and you put that truth into practice. You accept the righteousness of God in Christ, that He's cleansed you and He's given you that righteousness, and then you step out living in that righteousness by the power, empowerment of the new nature. You accept that peace of the gospel that you have with God now, that gives you the preparedness, the idea of readiness, and that's where awareness comes from. The idea of salvation, I'm clear about my salvation. I know the depths of my salvation. Christ is in me. I have been forgiven. I know that the Spirit of God dwelling in me is the guarantee of what's to come. Lift up the shield of faith. You can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. How about this? We are 1 hour into the first two A's, just starting with the third A. We've touched on awareness, which the scripture is pushing us against being willfully ignorant, with the idea of pushing us towards being willfully knowledgeable and committed. And let me say this, have some passion in that. Desire to be extremely aware. And then that alertness. That alertness comes from you. No different than, listen, if you don't take any time in prayer, you're not praying. If you don't take any time to give thanks, you're not giving thanks and being reminded of the great grace and mercies of God. And if you don't watch, if you don't take time in the context of, see, it's normal for me. I've just put that into practice years ago. It's normal. It's as normal for me to pray and then watch in the sense of, Lord, I want to perceive what the enemy's doing. I want to have a heads up of what's going on around me. I want to be alert and also give thanksgiving to have that joy. Now, we're talking about the armor of God and beginning that session. And because we're 55 minutes into this session, I'm going to go on to the next one tomorrow night and continue with the armor of God, the authority that we've been given, and the action that is needed. So the five A's will be broken down into part one tonight and part two tomorrow. And let me just mention with 3 minutes left. In dealing with the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Truth, Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. We've accepted, we've received the truth. We've accepted and received the truth of God in Christ, and the Spirit of truth dwells within. Now we put into practice the truth. We live telling the truth. We live speaking the truth. We live based on that truth. I've accepted the righteousness that God gives in Christ. I've accepted not my own, but His, the righteousness of Christ. When I got saved, His righteousness is applied to me. I am clean and cleansed before God, and the very pure, sinless righteousness of Jesus is now applied to me. but I now need to live out. We're supposed to do right. We're supposed to live righteous. You can read that in the book of 1 John. And then the peace with God that comes through the gospel that brings preparedness. Hey, listen, when I know that I have peace with God and that I stand in that sense of, well, the Greek word is arene, meaning the cessation of hostilities. I have peace with God. And I have that now in salvation, in my relationship, and that brings me the readiness and preparedness for life, for ministry, for spiritual warfare. Readiness, preparedness. Are you ready? It's the idea of having your shoes on. If you're going to go out and run, that you're clear about your relationship with God. You're clear about your peace with God. And then salvation, the helmet of salvation. And the depths of that, that's the centrality of our lives. To know that we're saved, to know what it means, to know the depth of that, to know the culmination in glorification. To lift up the shield of faith. To lift up the shield of faith, the Spirit of God says, will extinguish all that communication that comes from the enemy, all that poisonous, the Spirit of God calls it the arrows, those flaming arrows of lies, deceit. When you lift up faith in Christ, in His Word, it will go contrary to the lies and help bring down all of those flaming enemy arrows of the enemy. Now, the Word of God is inseparably then used as part of what we speak, part of what we live, as we listen to the Spirit of God, like even right now. Throughout this entire hour, there might be some of you where the Spirit of God brought to you a remembrance, brought, you know, the Spirit of God just gave you a scripture in the midst of things. And you're writing it down and you're adding to it. That's why I like having something to write on as I listen at times. So it's vital that we understand the depth of this armor that brings about the conscious, actual empowerment, the mighty strength, the manifest strength and might of God, so we can take our stand. We're at the end of the hour. This is session one on the 5A's. Tomorrow's two. Rust is our shadow, thedarkness.net. Remember us in your prayers. Please also remember us in support. God bless. Good night.